Well, good morning. The time is 11 a.m. on Wednesday, July 23rd, and you are indeed tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde. Today is the third of nine programs of this summer series. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm delighted to be joined by two members of So Percussion during the first hour of today's show. We listen now to one of the group's performances right now. Thank you. You were just listening to Steel Drums from It Is Time by Princeton University professor Steve Mackey, as performed by So Percussion. Well, today up until noon, I am being joined by two members of the percussion quartet, So Percussion, Jason Truding and Adam Slewinski. Thank you both so much for coming, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here. For over a decade, So Percussion has redefined the modern percussion ensemble as a flexible, omnivorous entity pushing its voice to the forefront of American musical culture. Praised by the New Yorker for their exhilarating blend of precision and anarchy, rigor and bedlam, So's adventurous spirit is written into the DNA passed down from composers like John Cage and Steve Reich, as well as from pioneering ensembles like the Kronos Quartet and Nexus Percussion. So Percussion's career now encompasses 13 albums, touring throughout the USA and around the world, a dizzying array of collaborative projects, several ambitious educational programs, and a steady output of their own music, and it just keeps going on and on and on. Again, welcome, guys, and feel free to just get close and answer the, just kind of be comfortable. This is what this is all about.
Quite an introduction, Marvin. That was a wonderful introduction.
I want people to listen, and I know they are. Listen, let's go now to the group. So Percussion, Jason and Adam, when and how did the group get started? And how did it get its name?
Well, the group, 1999, is kind of the earliest we can trace.
By the way,
this is
Jason Truding.
Yes, it is good to meet you all. Yeah. I was a grad student in 1999 is when I got to Yale. And the thing that the group has in common is that we all went to the Yale School of Music. And when I got there in 1999, it was basically, it was strangely a homework assignment, which I guess says a lot about the school that they would give this kind of cool homework, you know?
Yeah.
So we just played together a bunch, put together a really hard piece of music that we played a lot really early on, spent the whole year kind of putting it together. I remember I had my little corner of the studio that had peanut shells piling up because we would just rehearse late into the night and I was always eating peanuts. That was my thing. We just loved doing it. So it basically got started in that way, and we slowly played around New Haven and got to New York, and now we're doing it everywhere else we can. And I guess a couple years later, when we played our first show, you have to have a name, and we didn't have a name. Flipping Coins was up at the top of the list. We were going to be called the Flipping Coins Quartet, which is fun.
Which would have been
fun.
Fun,
right? And we were wrestling with it. And I asked my sister, my eldest sister, I'm really close with, and she lives in Japan. She's a translator. And she suggested the word so. And we've recently done a little bit more research on this because I've been called out by some friends who are Japanese who say this isn't true. And now I know this is to be true. It's just a very old kind of root word in Japanese. So is a kanji character that means to play music or to make sound.
And it actually has a little marking, you know.
And like when we little, do the so, put a little line over the O to kind of give it that flavor. If you look to our website soon, we're going to have a little link up that really goes into the etymology of so, because it's actually quite a nice kind of history.
Interesting. And when you guys started out back in those days of all the peanuts you were eating,
salted.
You were salt. Salt. I don't want to forget.
Salt.
You know, you live an exciting life, Jason. but you know, you guys were doing stuff like Xenakis. I was reading some very avant-garde repertoire.
We were. It was pretty, you know, we studied with a professor, Robert Van Sice, and he had just been teaching in Rotterdam in Holland and was kind of steeped in a European tradition of music as well as an American thing. But we were definitely playing a lot of James Wood was a British composer. We were playing a ton of students. And then as professionals, we still kind of hung on to that love of Xenakis. You know, other European composers that we're really digging on too, but Xenakis is the one who's kind of stuck. And then we got deep into the John Cage world and Steve Reich world, and that's kind of what we've really run with in terms of our lineage.
Well, that's great, and thanks so much for sharing all this. Now, David Lang was involved in some of this, wasn't he? When to kind of give you guys,
yes. Hi, this is Adam.
This is Adam.
So yeah, he was. Well, we had some connection with David. He's also an alum of Yale, of the Yale School of Music. So there's a little bit of a connection there, but we actually sought him out. As a young group, we were looking to try to find some more established composers who might be interested in writing like exciting big percussion pieces. And we made a connection with him. We kind of always tell the story that, you talk about like cold calling, right? Like, I'm just going to try to reach out to somebody. Yeah. Well, this was like, around 2000-ish, and so it was cold emailing. But at that time, it was like, I think Jason was like, okay, every permutation of david@bangonacan.org that I can think of, or dlang@bangonacan.com, or he didn't know his email address, so he just started trying things to see if something would work. One of them landed eventually. What David really did for us was... we had a little bit of money that one of the members of the group, who's not in the group anymore, got from a scholarship to commission David. And he agreed to write a piece for us. But he said, it actually seemed like a lot of money to us at the time, but I guess it wasn't a lot. And he said, you know what, this is not a lot of money, so I'm going to actually write you a humongous piece. And at first, the logic of that didn't make sense to us. And what we realized is that he was hoping that we had nothing better to do with our time than learn unbelievably hard music over like a period of many months, which actually turned out to be true. It was really important to us that this composer wrote for us. So he wrote this incredibly difficult piece for us called The So-Called Laws of Nature, which is on our first Cantaloupe album in 2004. Yeah. So our first like exposure in New York, our first New York Times coverage, all that stuff came through playing this big epic piece, which started out as a smaller piece. And David was the one who said, no, you know what? I'm going to write a huge piece for you guys, and we're going to see what happens. And that was a big jump start for us. That was a big launch point.
Well, great. So let's go now to another little idea here. Now, you guys now basically feature new music for the most part. Stuff, young composers. We'll talk more about education a little bit later on. What was the oldest piece you've performed, going to the other side of the coin?
Well, we kind of trace our lineage back to Cage. And so the first big quartet he wrote was Third Construction. It's 1941. So for us, that's like, ancient music. That's like that's the beginnings.
And
a lot of music. Yeah. I mean, if we weren't talking in a classical station, that would be old. But in the classical, in our tradition, that's a really young kind of, that's new music still for some people.
Right, right, right. But you know what I noticed too is, and we'll get to that a little bit more, young people love this stuff.
I think so.
I mean, I teach and I see when I bring to class something new, even within a regular music history class, you talk about some modern percussion ensemble, chaconne, when you're teaching Baroque music. Mm. I find the kids really love that.
Totally. I mean, I think percussion, we were talking about it with one of our students here. I mean, percussion is such a...
But
it's also such a wonderfully simple idea, So audiences, whether they're young or old, it's kind of like you can see how we're making every sound. In this John Cage piece, we play on tin cans. Everybody can hit a tin can. He just groups it in a way that's kind of wonderful, and it's taken us the time to kind of put that together. And when you look at the stage of this piece, it's just so fun. There's drums and tin cans and all kind of wonderful things. And Marvin, you were reminding me to tell everybody at this point, the first show we do at Princeton in September at Richardson, we're kind of starting with this piece as kind of, showing the audience our roots and kind of where we go from there. Because most of what we do is really new.
I know that.
And really, composers that are writing really for us. But this is kind of the seed of
this
that.
This really is. And, when you talk about new piece and older music. Now, last year, I'm going to what you guys did last year. I was at your last Extravaganza, that wonderful Steve Reich concert. And I've always liked Reich, but you guys made me love him. And I'm going to tell you. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Adam. That's what I'm here to make you feel good. No, but what you did, which was so exciting, it's sometimes music has to be heard live and observed. It was really like watching choreography. It was magnificent. Never forget it. We'll never forget that.
Thank you, Marvin. Yeah, I think that that's true of music in general. And actually, so we've been doing our summer festival for these 2 weeks, the So Percussion Summer Institute, that this is the sixth year that it's been happening. And actually, just yesterday, we had a lecture. Drew Daniel from Matmos was talking to the students about how as wonderful it is as it is to have all of these different kinds of digital media to transmit information and communication, like Twitter and Facebook and all these things. He was saying ultimately, live performance and vibration in a room is irreplaceable. And for the foreseeable future, unless some kind of amazing cyborg thing happens that we can't imagine now that could replace it, live performance is irreplaceable. And one of the things that happens in a live Steve Reich concert is the vibration of the rhythms and the energy in the room starts to kind of levitate.
That's right. And you know, it's the same thing to compare it, since we're talking about new things, compare it to our cell phones, our iPhones. You don't have the same thing unless you're talking face to face. It's different. Just like a live concert with Steve Reich, you can really see the relationship between the two things in today's world.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's go briefly to the about the annual So Percussion Summer Institute. Give us a little bit of a background about it, though, how it got started and how it's even changed over the years.
You know, we were thinking about this the other day. One of the first things we did as a group in terms of a kind of summer program, we had the chance to go to the Yellow Barn Summer Festival up in Putney, Vermont. And it was really wonderful. It was like, you know, this energy of like young students who are really hungry. We were, you know, students at the time.
Right.
You know, really hungry to learn and to experience new things and to pick people's brains and to talk to each other. It was just really kind of wonderful experience. So after we had been touring for a few years and, you know, we'd meet percussion students all over the country, we thought, like, would there be a way for us to find this kind of thing for just percussionists? I mean, percussionists have a wonderful community and do lots of different things. I mean, saying you're a percussionist is just, you know, such a weird thing to say. My wife's a violist. She says she's a violist, not she's a string player. You know what I mean? Like, percussion is a huge
thing. Well, you play
so
many instruments, too.
Totally. There's so many different kind of angles to talk about. So we've managed to kind of have that dream and make it work. And a lot of that's come from, over the years, meeting and learning more about all the cool stuff that's happening at Princeton. And when we thought, like, okay, we know there'll be students that'll come to something like this. We just need a place. We called up Steve Mackey because he was the head of the department here and said, is there any way we can even talk to somebody about doing this? So 6 years ago, you know, they kind of took a chance on that. And the music department's been wonderful. The conference and event services here have been wonderful. And so it's kind of grown from, you know, 20-something students the first year to now we're up to 44. And we have composers here as well. And it's just wonderful. I mean, it's almost like soon there's going to be a concert every night because there's just people wanting to.
Yeah,
you know,
I was wondering how you guys during these events, you know, you're so we'll talk more about what's coming up in the next week, you know, with you here. But we'll talk about that, how you keep the adrenaline, I guess, going nonstop for this.
But for us or for the students? The students is easy for us,
but,
you know.
Anyway, but you know what? Going back to reminiscing a little bit here right now, back on July 29th, 2009, 5 years ago, all four of you guys were here in the WPRB studio and recorded a number of works. And it is hard to believe that this is back in 2009.
Awesome.
And going into my computer, I happened to find those audio files. And I thought we would share those with our audience today. And we are going to listen to Music for Pieces of Wood by Steve Reich. And that was recorded, again, on July 29th, 2009, right here in the WPRB studio, and was wonderfully engineered by our own John Solomon.
This is called Music for Pieces of Wood by Steve Reich.
Music by Steve Reich. You were just listening to Music for Pieces of Wood. And that was recorded by So Percussion right here in the WPRB studio on July 29th, 2009. Time surely does fly, but it was absolutely wonderful listening to that again after all these years. And it was really fun because when I found it, when I was putting this show together, it was very exciting.
Yeah,
and it really got me going.
Yeah, totally.
It really got me going. So it was very, very exciting. I'm here with two members of So Percussion, and they will be here today until noontime. I am here with Jason Truding and Adam Stawinski. Thanks again, guys, both of you, for coming down.
Thank you.
Well, tell us more about this year's Summer Institute and share with us information about some of the concerts, the free concerts, I want to add.
Yeah, absolutely. So every year for SOCI, we call it SOCI, we have a theme. Yeah. And not everything that we do necessarily follows that theme, but it's always fun to have something. So last year, as you mentioned, Steve Reich was the theme of the festival. We did the big concert at the end of his music. Mm-hmm. He actually came down to Princeton and worked with our students for a day, which was amazing for all of us. Really great. So this year, the theme we chose was percussion and electronics. One of the reasons that we did that is that actually the history of the last 100 years of avant-garde music, percussion and electronics have been very linked. You know, the sort of innovations in each of those fields have kind of gone together. And you had composers like Varese wanting to do both. And actually here at Princeton, you have part of the history of electronic music having happened here at Princeton. Paul Lansky was one of the key figures. Milton Babbitt was very involved in that kind of stuff. Now you have Professor Dan Truman, who's doing amazing things. He started the PLORC, the Princeton Laptop Orchestra. Mm. So it kind of made sense, since our institute is at Princeton, to involve this theme and this idea of electronics. But in addition to that, we have just tons of other kinds of percussion chamber music. We have, I think it was 14 premieres of works by Princeton composers happening over the 2 weeks. We've commissioned brand new pieces from Princeton grad students and from Princeton faculty. And do you want me to just rattle off the list of the shows really quick that are happening?
I was hoping you
would. Okay.
And you know what else I want you to do?
Yeah.
I want you to do, Adam, is give the website where they're all listed as well.
That's great. So they're all right on the front page of sopercussion.com, which is our website. And you'll find, if you just go there, you'll find all of these events listed. They are all free. And we're kind of all over the Princeton community. So here's the list. Tonight, actually, we're going to Brooklyn, and we're playing a concert in Brooklyn. But after tonight, tomorrow, 4 p.m., we're at the Princeton Record Exchange. Every year we've been doing a show there where we just kind of invade the space and play some pieces in there. That's at 4 p.m. at the Princeton Record Exchange. On Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Matthews Studio, which is in the Lewis Center behind Thomas Suites, we have our concert of world premieres by Princeton composers. And that includes grad students from Princeton, and also we're calling some of ourselves now Princeton composers because we're here so much. Jason and Josh and Eric from our group wrote new pieces for that show. So that's at 8 o'clock on Saturday. Mm. That's at the Lewis Center. On Monday at 7:30 at Woolworth, the music building, the McAlpin Hall, we have a guest duo coming in of Stuart Gerber and Stephen Drury. This is percussion and piano, and they're doing this piece by Karlheinz Stockhausen called Kontakte.
Oh, which yeah,
is
I know that.
You know that one.
Oh,
yeah. It is at this point kind of a hit or a classic of the sort of weirdo avant-garde tradition. This is like,
yes.
Like post-war European, very kind of high modernism, but it's really one of the watershed pieces in how percussion and electronics are used together, and in this case with piano. So that's Monday night at 7:30 at the Woolworth Building. On Tuesday of Tuesday of next week, 7:30 p.m., we go to the Heinz Plaza by the library, and we play a big outdoor show in the Heinz Plaza where we bring all our instruments out there. People can just wander by and check it out. If you're anywhere right in the downtown area, you'll probably hear us anyway. Thursday of next week at 8 p.m., we're at Small World, and that's going to be pieces that our student composers have written for our student percussionists, and that's going to be happening at the Small World on Witherspoon. Thursday at 8 p.m. I'm almost done here. There's a lot of concerts. Friday next week at 8 p.m., our student composers have all written pieces for us, for So Percussion. So that's at the Lewis Center at the Matthews Studio next Friday at 8 p.m. And finally, on Saturday, August 2nd, we have a big closing marathon where we're doing a whole bunch of pieces. So some of those include Princeton faculty members like Dan Truman, Dimitri Tomasko. Actually, a new faculty member coming in this year, Juri Sale. And then we have pieces by John Cage, Timber by Michael Gordon, some other really, really great things. So that's the big closing marathon, and that's going to start in the afternoon and go all the way into the evening. That's at the Lewis Center, the Matthews Studio. So whew, there you go. That's all the events.
What is the longest concert you've ever done?
Ever done?
Yeah. Oh, I see. I see Adam, and you're looking over at Jason.
Well, only because I'm trying to think of what that might have been.
I don't know, man. I'm speechless.
Jason, take it over.
I don't even know. You know, the concert you came to last year was pretty epic.
That was
epic.
Pretty long.
You know,
the whole drumming of Reich, just that alone is
a good hour. Yeah, good over an hour. Yeah. You know, we did a couple shows that put two kind of epic pieces that we played back to back, and it felt like it was, you know, 10-hour long concert. It was probably more like, you know, not that
and what
long.
What was?
We did David Lang's work, which is kind of just big and solid and you know, sweaty. And then we did drumming, which is also kind of that way, you know. But I hesitate because we had this drummer come in, Kid Millions. He's a pretty amazing rock jazz drummer, and his band Oneida used to do 10-hour shows. So there's nothing I can think of that will get close to 10-hour shows, you know.
Unless you could find some huge, monstrous, very quiet Morton Feldman piece in the
we would die for that. But
you know, seriously, because I'm sure you guys know about one of his string quartets goes on for like 6.5 hours. That would be an interesting.
I'll
phenomenon.
Think of a better answer when we're hanging next year, Marvin.
Oh, okay.
A better long.
I'll give you a quiz.
Show. Yeah, I'll come prepared.
Anyway, let's go now back to. Education in general. I mean, of course, you have this annual So Percussion Summer Institute on campus with all sorts of students. What other venues are you involved with, which involve the mentoring of students? Now, you are involved now in a new percussion department at Bard, correct?
We are. We run the program up there. It started 3 years ago, the percussion department did. Mm-hmm. It's grown from two students the first year, you know, it just gets a little bit bigger each year, and now I think we have 8 students up there next year, which is it's exciting. Each year, you know, folks are searching us out that are into the weird, but hopefully the high level weird. You know, I think we hope to represent the high level weird. But what I realized a long time ago, I mean, I kind of had this idea when So started that, okay, early on we're gonna do a lot of education concerts, and then, you know, once we played our first Carnegie Hall concert, you know, that's just a different thing, and you don't educate anymore. You're in this other world, you know. I was a youngin. I was, you know, naive youngin, and I think I realized really quickly, and actually I love that I realized this, that you can never kind of tear the two apart. And time when we tour, you know. Excuse me. All the time when we tour, you know, we're touring at performing arts centers that are associated at universities with students who are really hungry to talk about what we do. So we just kind of get it to educate everywhere when we're touring. And then to have something like SOCI right here at Princeton, or the work we're going to be able to do next year as Ensemble in Residence here, to just kind of really dig in with students who are hungry to talk about what we do. I think I realized a while ago that I didn't know that I loved it as much as I do. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think this is the future. You know, when you get involved with younger people who really love what you're doing, and it's fun.
Yeah, it's exhilarating. I mean, I was embarrassed to say the thing that you always hear, like, I think I got more out of the students than they got from me. You know, I found myself saying that to my family when they were asking me how the Summer Institute went. And it's like, hey, actually, that's a real truth. Like, I left the first time we taught for 2 weeks here just with such an energy and such an invigoration.
Students must ask great questions.
They do, and they'll ask you questions. You know, you just have to leave. Finally, they'll just ask and ask and ask.
Well, and Marvin, it's kind of worth mentioning really quickly. If any folks out there who are listening have been to any of the concerts, over the last 15 years or so, Princeton has had this program that they call the Edward T. Cone Ensemble in Residence,
right,
or Performers in Residence. And the first group, and whom only most recently left, was the Brentano String Quartet. And maybe some people out there had been to see them. They're a wonderful string quartet. See some of their concerts here in Princeton. So Brentano, they're going to Yale now. And with them leaving, there was an opportunity for another ensemble to come in and take this position, and we're super excited and really blessed that Princeton selected us to do that. So we are now the Edward T. Cone Ensemble in Residence, starting in the fall here at Princeton. And as part of that, so now not only our summer festival, we're going to be here all year round, working with composers, working with other musicians in the community, with undergrads. And just to mention really quickly that we have two big concerts that are happening this year. One is on Friday, September 12th at Richardson Hall, and the other one is in April, which maybe we'll come back and talk about. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
April 14th, but September 12th coming up really soon. We're actually going to do John Cage's Third Construction on that concert, which I think is kind of a bridge between the chamber music of the string quartet with the innovations of the 20th century. And we really, really hope folks may come out and check that out and see what we're kind of hoping to bring and hoping to offer here in Princeton as the ensemble in residence.
Yeah, you know, with Cage, it's interesting because people think of Cage as this almost philosophical, in a philosophical way. You know, this whole bit with music being everywhere and sounds being everywhere, some of those pieces like Variations 4 and some of those. But Cage was an incredible just musical mind and wrote some incredibly and beautiful works. You know, I mean, some of his piano music, you think of the artistic quality and the real poetry behind even some of the prepared piano stuff. It's just he was just an incredible mind, and he always too many people think of Cage as just they think of John Cage. Oh, we're going to hear somebody honking the horn, and that's music.
Yeah, totally. Or you know, everybody knows of the Silent Piece. You know, everybody knows of 433.
That's right, and that's the piece.
Which
right.
is, I mean, watershed and important and amazing, and life wouldn't be the same without it. But you know, the 10, 15 years before that, he was writing incredibly
beautiful,
fun music, you know, like for the percussion music is just kind of it's like a party, you know, it's just really fun,
really
beautiful
is.
Music.
It really is. And to hear some of those prepared piano pieces, I mean, I'd love those dances for two prepared pianos are just incredibly fun.
Totally. Yeah.
And Cage is quite a figure, and one which I think needs to be always re-examined because he was a great master of the 20th century in general.
Yeah, well, come on out on the last show. I think Adam mentioned the last show of Sosi. We're doing all the Imaginary Landscapes, which are his kind of early works that are for percussion electronics.
Yeah. It's one of those is
all the radios.
The radios,
yeah,
right?
12 radios. Yeah. You'll be there, Marvin. I know you'll be there.
Yeah, I will be there.
You come up and start tuning a radio.
I'll start. Well, hey, let's talk about the work you do as composers. I know, Jason, you write, and we're going to hear one of your pieces in a moment, a few minutes. How about the rest of you? Now, Adam, you do some writing, but you're more involved as a musicology analytical person.
Yeah, I do a lot of writing about music. Part of it is just writing for writing our bio and our program notes, things like that. But I've actually kind of started on my own independent path of using the work that we do as a jumping off point for a variety of different kinds of writing, essays. And actually, Jason and I are both contributing to a volume that Cambridge University is coming out with next year about percussion called Cambridge Companion to Percussion. And he and I are both writing articles contributing to that about what we do and everything. So that's something I'm pretty involved in. But everybody else in the group writes quite a bit of music.
And one of the people is Jason. And we're going to hear one of your pieces right now. What do we have queued up?
We have queued up. It's actually the first set of music I ever wrote. And I didn't show anybody for a long while. And finally, I showed the guys and everybody got excited to record it. So it really happened as a recording project at first. And then we've slowly learned how to play it live. And it's a project called Amid the Noise.
How far back does this go?
I mean, I'm going to embarrassingly ask Adam. 2006. I would say the music
still
was
very new.
Yeah.
But maybe old for you guys.
For me, well, and actually, I guess just in terms of like me as a composer, that was, you know,
the beginning.
That was my beginning.
Like your kickoff, so to speak.
It was, yeah.
What's the name of the piece we're going to be hearing?
The piece is from a project called Amid the Noise. The piece is called Work Slow Life. I mentioned my sister earlier, helped us name the group. She's a video artist as well, and so the it comes with the DVD. It's kind of like all music with short kind of art videos. Actually, it's neat. We were talking about education. One of the projects I'm going to do next year with the students at Princeton is put on a big version of Amid the Noise in December at Matthews. It's kind of a very flexible piece of music that can be played by lots of different types of instrumentalists. Right. Our version, of course, is for percussion. But we're going to put that on next December, which should be fun. And this is one of the shorter tracks called Work Slow Life.
And we hear it right now. It's performed by So Percussion. The music is by Jason Truding. Music by one of my guests from So Percussion, Jason Truding. That was titled Work, Slow Life, and we heard members of So Percussion in that performance. Well, we are getting close to the end. Gosh, this was a quick hour.
It flies by. Yeah.
It was really a quick hour. And, Let's first of all remind people that you do have a website if they want more information about your ensemble. It's sopercussion.com. And I will also have a link to your website on the playlist for today's show on my website.
Great.
So people will be able to see that. Let's go up to back to events coming up a little bit. You've spoken a little bit some things here in Princeton, but you guys have a new recording coming out in October.
So October 28th.
This is Adam, by the way.
This is Adam. Hi.
Hi.
October 28th. So our longtime record label, Cantaloupe Music, which I think all the recordings we've listened to today have been Cantaloupe Records, is releasing a big project that we have done with a drummer and composer named Bobby Previtt. Bobby's been around for a little while. He was kind of part of the downtown jazz scene in New York during the 80s. And it's really cool what he did for us. It's called Terminals, and it's a bunch of concerti for us as kind of like the orchestra, or they used to call it the ripieno. And it's
back in the days.
Back in the 17th century in Italy. Yeah. And the soloists for all of the concerti are improvising soloists. So you have people like John Medeski from Medeski, Martin & Wood. You have Nels Klein, Zena Parkins, all of these people who are amazing musicians in many different rights, but who are definitely well known as improvisers. And it's really fun. So you've got electric guitar, you've got harp, you've got Hammond organ and piano, saxophone, Greg Osby is on it. Like, it's really, really interesting project. And for me, being like a classical music geek that I am, I actually think it kind of harkens back to the fact that concerti used to actually be partially improvised, right?
That's right.
Like Mozart barely ever wrote down a cadenza, because usually the cadenza was kind of a bravura improvisation, you know what I mean?
Show your stuff type of thing.
Show your stuff moment. And for us, it was really neat to think of this idea that through Bobby's filter, we'd get back to the idea of a partially improvised concerto. So that's coming out of Cantaloupe in October. It's going to be a double LP set. We're releasing LPs for this one.
No CDs?
There will be a CD. Yeah, there will be a CD. But we're just really excited about LPs are kind of hot right now.
It's interesting. I've noticed that.
Yeah. So I'm hoping maybe the Princeton Record Exchange will stock a few of them and people could check them out then.
Yeah. You know what? That reminds me. You know, I know my wife is always trying to tell me to not buy so many LPs. But now I think I have a good excuse to remind her that there's some LPs that I want.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna get my tail beaten when I get home too.
Okay. I'm staying out of this one.
So what else is coming up for you guys then, too? Jason?
Taking it a day at a time. Actually, the exciting thing we have, we talk about old forms. We've discovered the concerto in another way. We had our first concerto written for us. David Lang wrote us a concerto that the BBC commissioned along with the LA Phil. And so we stood in front of, you know, 96-piece orchestra for the first time at festival last year, and it was completely exhilarating. So we're going out to LA in October to do that one for four shows. Mm-hmm. Super exciting for us. And then we've been writing a lot together.
Right.
You mentioned, a bunch of us in So Right. And so a lot of times when the group does projects together, we kind of co-write a little bit and
Sounds
ideas
fun.
Mingle. And that's what
Sounds
we got going
fun.
On.
Before we wrap up and play our final selections, I'm going to change gears. Adam?
Yeah.
And
what's his
Jason.
Name?
Jason. No, I remember. I remember. I'm just trying to time.
I'm with you.
Changing gears. What are some of the things you guys enjoy doing when you are not making music and sharing music? If you have time.
Man, when we're not.
Sleep.
You know, I sleep. I have two young daughters who I love very much, and I sleep whenever I can because they keep me moving. You know, I got to move out to Princeton last year. I've been out here this year on a fellowship, and so I realize I've been, we have a little backyard that I never had in Brooklyn. So I've been grilling a lot, been gardening a little bit.
Nice.
Try to run whenever I can.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
it's good.
Great.
Try to be outside. It's a beautiful summer here.
That's right.
You know?
Adam.
Well, I have a stepson who's nine years old, and he is obsessed with this game called Minecraft, which is this video game where it's like a Lego, it's like you're in the virtual world, like building these worlds. And so he and I, when I'm away, like I am right now, he and I kind of trade back and forth, like Minecraft, like we build stuff and show it to each other. And when we hang out together, we like build stuff in the game together. So that's something I spend actually a fair amount of time doing, is just building these crazy structures in this virtual world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank both of you so much for stopping down. I know you're very busy, and we will see you at some of the shows.
Anytime. Anytime you ask, Marvin.
Great.
We'll be here.
Thank you.
Great. I've been joined for the last hour by two members of So Percussion, Jason Truding and Adam Slavinsky. Adam and Jason, again, thank you both so much
for
coming.
Thanks.
Well, we signed on today's program with music by Princeton composer Steve Mackey. And we're going to sign off with music of Paul Lansky, Princeton professor who recently retired. From his Threads, we listen to Recitative, and that will be followed by Chorus. Again, members of So Percussion, thank you so much for joining me. More of Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde is coming up between 12 and 1, and hope you will stay tuned.
For all the most exciting music events in New York, New Jersey, and Philadelphia, listen to the WPRB concert calendar every Monday through Saturday at 3:30 and 7:30 p.m. The concert calendar is sponsored by the Princeton Record Exchange, located on 20 South Tulane Street in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. The Princeton Record Exchange buys and sells new and used DVDs, CDs, and LPs, and proudly supports WPRB.
Well, good afternoon. It is 2 minutes after 12 on Wednesday, July 23rd, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey. Community support at independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde. I am your host for this program, Marvin Rosen, and this is the third of nine programs of this summer series. Thank you so much for joining me. Just want to remind you that you can become a fan of Classical Discoveries on Facebook and can also follow me, Marvin Rosen, on Twitter. A brief look at the weather. This afternoon, it will be mostly sunny with a high near 92, good and hot. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly between midnight and 1 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 71. Chance of precipitation is 60%. And tomorrow, Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 85. Chance of precipitation is 40%. We currently have partly cloudy skies and 85 degrees at Mercer County Airport in Trenton.
Oh,
You were just listening to Song Circle 1, dating from 1984, by Russian composer Alexander Raskatov, who was born in 1953. In our performance, you heard the ensemble of the Association for Contemporary Music, conducted by Alexei Vinogradov, music of Alexander Raskatov. Well, later this hour, we will be listening to music by two American women composers, Julia Wolf and Eleanor Hovda. For now, though, we go to a selection of Henry Brandt, who lived from 1913 until 2008. He developed the concept of spatial music, in which the location of instruments and or voices in physical space is a significant compositional element. This concept actually was influenced by the antiphonal music of the late Renaissance and early Baroque, as well as by its appearance in Berlioz's Requiem and in The Unanswered Question by Charles Ives. We listen now to Ghost Nets, dating from 1988, by Henry Brandt. The work in one movement is actually a concerto for solo double bass with two widely separated chamber orchestras and one isolated horn. The music takes as its point of departure the destruction of marine life in the northern Pacific. In our performance, we hear members of American Camerata. Our conductors are John Stevens and the composer, Henry Brandt. Our double bass soloist is Louis Pear. We listen now to Ghost Nets, dating from 1988, by American composer Henry Brandt.
Yeah.